Let's pretend you're traveling around Japan and you end up in a small town. There are mom and pop shops all up and down this narrow road. Pottery, rice, a place that weaves those straw tatami mats, and a store that makes homemade senbei rice crackers that smell so divine. You realize how hungry you are. Looking a few shops up the road, you spot a hole-in-the-wall restaurant. Out front is a split noren curtain, flapping in the breeze. This lets you know that the shop is open. The characters, unagi, are brushed on the noren in black ink. And alongside that, the image of a happy eel twisting its way up the cloth. Eel. You love eel. You duck inside the restaurant. Irashaimase is called out by both the cook in the back and his wife, who is working as a waitress. With a flip of her hand, she says, Doko demo ii desu yo. You can sit anywhere you want. There are only 5 small tables and a bar that faces the back into the kitchen. You choose a little table by a window, and after a cursory glance at the handwritten menu, you order unadon, rice with grilled eel on top. You wait expectantly. A little while later, the wife waitress comes over and sets a wide-mouthed lacquer bowl in front of you. There are 2 fillets of grilled eel atop white rice. You can almost taste the sweet, salty tare sauce that has been brushed over the unagi again and again as it was grilled over hot coals. You pick up your chopsticks. Itadakimasu. The wife waitress smiles at you. You like eel, you speak Japanese, and you can use chopsticks. She takes the tiny pot of tea and starts to fill your cup. You look around the table. Something is missing. One of your favorite foods. Umeboshi. Pickled plums. You ask the wife waitress in your wonderful Japanese, could she bring you some? A look of horror crosses her face. She drops the teapot, and it smashes to the floor. She screams, what did you do? Well, I'll tell you in today's episode of Uncanny Japan. More specifically, I'll tell you about various food sayings and superstitions. There are quite a few, and they're a whole lot of fun. So please keep listening. Uncanny Japan is author me, Teresa Matsura, exploring all that is weird from old Japan. Strange superstitions and old wives' tales. Cultural oddities and interesting language quirks. These are little treasures I dig up while doing research for my writing, and I want to share them with you here on Uncanny Japan. I hope you like the show.
This episode is supported by Sonnet. Listening to podcasts shouldn't be hard, but so many podcast apps on Android are cluttered and confusing. With its modern, clean design and extremely user-friendly interface, Sonnet makes it easier for those on Android to discover new shows, listen, subscribe, and get notified of latest episodes. Best of all, it's free. Click on the link in the description to listen to Uncanny Japan on Sonnet.
Hey, hey, everyone. How are you doing? I'm fine, thank you. It's been raining here like crazy. Maybe you've seen the horrible news out of Kyushu, all the flooding and mudslides. It's heartbreaking. Other places are getting hit too. We've had nonstop rain for weeks, it seems. And I have heard about flooding, landslides, and blackouts, but I haven't read anything or heard anything about injuries or deaths in my area yet. That said, today was a very rare sunny day here. And as if by magic, the cicadas came out. It's supposed to start raining again tomorrow, so they're going to have to wait until the end of this rainy season before summer officially starts. Oh, I have a little news about something new we're going to be trying out. We, being Rich Pav, my sound and tech guy. And here, let me give him the mic.
Unless you grew up in a Japanese household or have lived in one, I'm going to guess you don't know what Japanese people really eat at home. But I'm just guessing. I've never seen a single episode of Iron Chef, and in the past 30 years, I've eaten at Japanese restaurants in America exactly 2 times. I'm going to start making videos to show what kinds of food people here typically make in their kitchens and how they do it. I want to teach people things that are considered basic food-related common knowledge, so that if you ever walk into a Japanese supermarket, you'll not only know what you're looking at, you'll also know what to do with it after you get it home. I'm taking on this new project mostly for Uncanny Japan patrons. They help Terry and me pay our monthly bills and rent by contributing anywhere between $2 and $50 a month. We used to mail all kinds of stuff to $15 a month and up patrons, but thanks to the corona apocalypse, we can't do that right now, and we don't know how long that's going to last. A number of patrons have said they'd like us to share Japanese recipes, so I bought a little action cam to strap to my forehead while I cook and teach you what I know about normal, everyday Japanese food people make in their kitchens, including the time-saving shortcuts they use and the packaged stuff you can buy that you just have to add fresh ingredients to. So no Iron Food Chef here, no American strip mall sushi hut food, and probably not food that's going to get you likes on Instagram. I just want to show you how to make food that's going to taste as close as possible to real Japanese home cooking. And for all you language learners out there, I'm going to teach basic food vocabulary so you'll be able to understand Japanese food vloggers and read recipes written in Japanese. So here's the part online marketers call the call to action. I've got a whole bunch of questions I'd like to ask our patrons. Like, what are some things you want to see? What do you want to learn? And most importantly, I need to know what ingredients you can and can't get from local supermarkets or online. If you're a patron or you'd like to become one, please visit the Uncanny Japan patron page and fill out the cooking video questionnaire. The link is in this episode's description, or just type 3 words into Google, Uncanny Japan Patreon. And now, back to Terry.
Okay, let's get started with the show. There are quite a few superstitions involving food here in Japan, and a lot of them I find quite interesting. So let me start with Myōga wo taberu to mono wasare suru. To understand this one, you need to know about an interesting plant called a myōga. I've seen it called Japanese ginger. Although similar, kinda, it's really got its own unique taste. One of those that you love it or you hate it tastes. It's kind of nice in small doses. Anyway, myōga grows in Japan, China, and South Korea. It's recognizable by its small bulby shape and purplish skin, and it can be eaten fresh or pickled. The way I see it eaten most often around here is finely sliced with a knife and used as a garnish on different Japanese dishes. So something like miso soup, roasted eggplant, or cold somen noodles, to name a few. It can usually be found year-round, but its true season is June and July. Now to the superstition. It states that if you eat too much myōga, you'll become forgetful. Well, it seems that one of the Buddha's great disciples was a man named Shuri Hantoku. He was a devoted follower of the Buddha. He just happened to be extremely forgetful. After he passed away, myōga started growing on his grave. Suddenly, eating myōga became associated with being forgetful. So there you go. Number 2. Gohan tsubu wo nokosu to me ga tsubureru. When eating rice, don't leave even a single grain behind. If you do, your eyes will get smushed. Gross, right? This one is thought to have come about to make sure children eat all their food. I think being told my eyes would get smushed probably would have worked better than my mom telling me that there are starving children in the world. So eat all your food. Eating all your rice in your bowl, down to the last grain, is thought to be a very, noble and polite thing to do. As an example, once I heard this weird story from my friend. I'm not sure if this is true or not, but she said a woman was once on a train sitting next to some random man who was well-dressed. She was eating her lunch and ate it very cleanly and daintily, but also not leaving any rice at the bottom of her open tobacco. The man was so impressed, he asked her to marry him. And I guess he was some super rich CEO or something, so she lived happily ever after. I don't know, there's a lot to unpack in that story. But that's what she told me. Moving on to number 3. Suika no tane o nomu to mocho ni naru. If you eat watermelon seeds, you'll get appendicitis. I'm not sure why, but as kids, we did all believe that if you ate watermelon seeds, vines would grow from your throat. So, related? Number 4. Suo nomu to karada ga yowarakaku naru. Drinking vinegar makes you more flexible. Keep in mind that the word yowarakai means both soft, as in a soft pillow, and flexible, as being able to touch the floor with your palms. You can kind of follow the logic here. Marinating meat in vinegar will break down the proteins and make the meat soft. Therefore, a frail kind of logic would state that by drinking a little vinegar every day, you would become more yowarakai, or flexible. Although thinking about it now, I do hope this wasn't originally a kind of Hansel and Gretel type thing. Drink this vinegar, it'll make you soft. Number 5. Wakame o taberu to kami no ke ga ooku naru, fueru, kuroku naru. If you eat wakame, seaweed, your hair will get thick and turn black. Wakame has lots of minerals. No idea why it was thought to affect your hair, but this is probably one of the first food superstitions I ever heard. And I've heard it a lot since, so there are quite a few people who still believe it. Moving on to number 6. Toji ni kabocha o taberu to kaze o hikanai. If you eat kabocha on the winter solstice, you won't catch a cold. Kabocha are sometimes called pumpkins, but they're actually the kabocha squash. Dark green on the outside, pretty orange on the inside. They're picked in the summer, but they have a long shelf life. The thought behind this superstition is that by eating these nutritious vegetables on the winter solstice, back when vegetables were fewer and farther between, and also not grown all year round, it meant that you were getting important nutrients, making you healthier and less likely to catch a cold. Number 7. Hatsumono o taberu to jūmyō ga 75 nichi nobiru. If you eat the first foods as soon as they are harvested, you will live an extra 75 days. There are two thoughts on this one. One, that these first vegetables or fruits, right after they've been harvested, have a special vitality, and by eating them, you gain that energy, thus extending your life by 75 days. Another idea is if there was a prisoner doomed to be executed, and he was asked what he wanted for his last meal, he would choose something that wasn't in season yet. That meant he'd put off his death sentence until the next season, or about 75 days. Number 8. Akinasa wa yome ni kuwasuna. Don't let the new wife eat autumn eggplants. I experienced this one firsthand when my mother-in-law wouldn't let me eat an eggplant dish in the fall when I was first married. She repeated this saying back to me, and when I asked why, she explained it as fall eggplants, or nasu in Japanese, are really delicious, so you don't let your son's wife eat them. Ha ha. But that is just only one joking explanation. There are a couple more. A second reason not to let the new wife eat autumn nasu is that they have a cooling effect on the body, and this, going into winter months, is not a good thing for a young woman. So no eggplant. A third theory, and my favorite, is that eggplants have fewer seeds than usual, like almost no seeds. Having fewer seeds, being without seed, I'm not sure how you want to look at this, but it boils down to a kind of metaphor for not being able to get pregnant. So those are all sayings or superstitions involving food. Next, I'm going to talk about something called kuiawase. Kui comes from ku, which is a rather blunt and rude way of saying eat. Awase means to bring something or some things together. So a combination of foods might be a good translation. Kuiawase ga warui would mean a bad pairing of foods. This is sometimes called gashokukin or shokugokin, and the kin in this means forbidden. So foods you do not want to eat at the same time. Anyway, I knew about, I don't know, about a dozen of these, but while researching for today's show, I found heaps more. First, I will talk about the more common ones, the bad kuiawase I've heard about again and again throughout the years. And then I'll move on to the rarer, stranger ones. Okay, so here are some foods you should never eat together or you'll get sick and possibly die. If I could find the reason or the belief why you shouldn't combine them, I'll mention that too. But some are just mysterious. Remember at the beginning of the show, you got your eel on rice, you wanted to have some pickled plum alongside it, and were met with horror and disgust? No, I'm pretty sure there wouldn't be broken ceramics or screaming. But it's very well known that you should never eat unagi, eel, and umeboshi, pickled plum, together. The reasoning being that eel is very greasy, so having that on your stomach and then eating a very acidic pickled plum will really mess up your gut. However, it seems modern thought might suggest the acidity in the plum could help aid digestion of a greasy meal. But that aside, it's still frowned upon to eat eel and pickled plums together. I also read that eating eel and ginkgo nuts at the same time could be deadly, but I couldn't find out why. Another one that is quite common, tempura and watermelon, or tempura and shaved ice. So imagine a warm, oily food suddenly combined with something cold. It's all going to gloop up in your stomach and give you an awful bellyache, or so it's said. Now let's look at some of the new ones to me. I found that you should never eat crabs and persimmons at the same time. It's said that both lower the body temperature. Just ask an old Korean king named Gyeongjeon Kaeso, who, it is rumored, ate this deadly pairing in October 1724, and he died. Yes, there is a rumor that he died from eating crab and persimmons together. Scary. The same reasoning goes for eating crab and ice water. Drop in body temperature, and that's bad for you. Thinking about it now, didn't I just say that eggplant is thought to have a cooling effect on the body? So I'm guessing eating crab, persimmon, ice water, and eggplant would like be really, really, really bad. Okay, next, soba noodles and snails. In particular, a snail found in rice fields here in Japan that I don't believe anyone eats anymore anyway, but they're called tanishi. I read that since soba noodles are usually sucked down and not chewed very well, and tanishi snails are really difficult to digest anyway, your stomach has to work overtime, so it's a very bad combo. Another, octopus and plums. I don't know why, just don't eat octopus and plums at the same time. And another, walnuts and sake. This one I found a reason for. Walnuts are said to increase your blood pressure, as does drinking booze. So we do not want high blood pressure, do we? No walnuts with your sake. Oh, and here's a funny duo. Bamboo shoots and brown sugar should never be partaken together. Why? Because they were both rare and quite the luxury item back in the day. So this wasn't so much that you'd get sick. Just don't eat all the really good expensive food, will ya? And finally, I found these old posters from the Taisho era depicting images of bad kuyawase. No explanations, but they're interesting. Let me list them here so you don't accidentally ingest them together and mess up your guts or die. Never ever eat pomegranates with sweet potatoes. Don't eat samma or Pacific sari fish with watermelon. Don't eat garlic with eggs or rabbit with ginger. Or, and we're getting weirder and weirder here, don't eat peppermint and potatoes. Don't eat watermelon and bear stomach. And lastly, just in case you've ever been tempted, don't eat rat poop and sake together. Separately is fine. And there you have it, food sayings and superstitions. Have you heard of any? There are a whole lot more, and I imagine some regional ones that I didn't run across. So let me know if you have any to add to the list. That's all for today. Super duper thank you to my patrons. My $5 and up patrons are absolutely going to dig Richard's video recipes. I can't wait for those to start happening. And thank you to kind listeners, reviewers, spread the uncanny Japan worders. I will talk to you all again in 2 weeks. Bye-bye. You've just reached the end of another episode of Uncanny Japan. Perhaps you'd like more. A monthly folktale translated and retold by me. The occasional binaurally mic'd soundscape like the ones you hear on this show. Or recipes, behind-the-curtain episodes, homemade postcards, and more. If you're interested in that or supporting the show in any way, please search for Uncanny Japan and Patreon. We've got a wonderful group over there. Thank you again for listening, supporting, reviewing, and telling your friends about the show. My name is Teresa Matsura, and I will talk to you again soon.